ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 8 चैप्टर 6 टेक्स्ट नंबर 12. दिस चैप्टर इज एंटाइटल्ड एज द डेमिगॉड्स एंड डीमंस डिक्लेयर अ ट्रूस. यथाग्निम निम एदस अमृतम च गोषु अन्नम अम्बुद्यमने च वृत्ते योगैर्मनुष्य अधियन्ति हित्वा गुणेषु बुद्ध्या कवयो वदन्ति. बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद. एज वन कैन डिराइव फायर फ्रॉम वुड, मिल्क फ्रॉम द मिल्क बैग ऑफ द काउ, food grains and water from the land, and prosperity in one's livelihood by industrial enterprises. So by the practice of bhakti yoga, even within this material world, one can achieve your favor or intelligently approach you. Those who are pious all affirm this purport. Although the Supreme Personality of Godhead is nirgun, not to be found within this material world, the entire material world is pervaded by him, as stated in the Bhagavad Gita, Maya Tatam Idam Sarvam. The material world is nothing but an expansion of the Lord's material energy, and the entire cosmic manifestation rests upon him, Matstani Sarva Bhutani. Nonetheless, the Supreme Lord cannot be found here, Na Chaham Teshu Avastitaha. A devotee, however, can see the Supreme Personality of Godhead through the practice of Bhakti Yoga. One ordinarily does not begin to practice bhakti yoga unless he has practiced it in previous births. Moreover, one can begin bhakti yoga only by the mercy of the spiritual master and Krishna. Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Bij. The seed of devotional service is obtainable by the mercy of Guru, the spiritual master, and Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Only by the practice of bhakti yoga can one achieve the favor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and see him face to face. Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena Santaha Sadaiva Hridayeshu Vilokayanti. One cannot see the Lord by other methods such as karma, jnana or yoga. Under the direction of the spiritual master, one must cultivate bhakti yoga, shravanam, kirtanam, vishnuho, smaranam, padasevanam. Then within this material world, although the Lord is not visible, a devotee can see him. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Bhaktyamam Abhijananti Yavan Yaschasmitatvataha, and in Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhaktyaham Ekya Grahya. Thus, by devotional service, one can achieve the favor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, although he is not visible or understandable to materialistic persons. In this verse, the cultivation of Bhakti Yoga is compared to many material activities. By friction, one can get fire from wood. By digging the earth, one can get food grains and water. And by agitating the milk bag of the cow, one can get nectar and milk. Milk is compared to nectar, which one can drink to become immortal. Of course, simply drinking milk will not make one immortal, but it can increase the duration of one's life. In modern civilization, men do not think milk to be important, and therefore they do not live very long. Although in this age men can live up to 100 years, their duration of life is reduced because they do not drink large quantities of milk. This is a sign of Kali Yuga. In Kali Yuga, instead of drinking milk, people prefer to slaughter an animal and eat its flesh. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, in his instructions of the Bhagavad Gita, advises goraksha, which means cow protection. The cow should be protected. Milk should be drawn from the cows, and this milk should be prepared in various ways. One should take ample milk and should be prepared in various, and thus one can prolong one's life, develop his brain, execute devotional service, and ultimately attain the favor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Nandanandan Prabhu, bring more milk. It is essential to get food grains and water by digging the earth. It is also essential to give protection to the cows and take nectarian milk from their milk bags. The people of this age are inclined toward industrial enterprises for comfortable living, but they refuse to endeavor to execute devotional service by which they can achieve the ultimate goal of life by returning home back to Godhead. Unfortunately, as it is said, Nate vidhusvartha gatihi vishnum durashaye bahirarthamanina. People without spiritual education do not know that the ultimate goal of life is to go back home back to Godhead. Forgetting this aim of life, they are working very hard in disappointment and frustration. Moghasha mogha karmano mogha jnana vichetasa. The so-called vaishyas, the industrialists or businessmen, are involved in big industrial enterprises, but they are not interested in food grains and milk. However, as indicated here, by digging for water, even in the desert, we can produce food grains. When we produce food grains and vegetables, we can give protection to the cows. While giving protection to the cows, we can draw from them abundant quantities of milk. And by getting enough milk and combining it with food grains and vegetables, we can prepare hundreds of nectarian foods. We can happily eat this food and thus avoid industrial enterprises and joblessness. Agriculture and cow protection are the way to become sinless and thus be attracted to devotional service. Those who are sinful cannot be attracted by devotional service. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 7.28, Esham tu antagatam papam jananam punya karmanam te dvandva moha nirmukta bhajante mam dridavrataha. Persons who have acted piously in previous lives and in this life, whose sinful actions are completely eradicated and who are freed from the duality of delusion, engage themselves in my service with determination. The majority of people in this age of Kali are sinful, short-living, unfortunate and disturbed. Manda sumanda matayo manda bhagyahi upadrataha. For them, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has advised, Harer nama, Harer nama, Harer nama iva kevalam, kalau nasteva, nasteva, nasteva gati ranyata. In this age of quarrel and hypocrisy, the only means of deliverance is chanting the holy names of the Lord. There is no other way, there is no other way, there is no other way. Om Yathagnim edhasi amritam chagoshu, bhuvya annam ambudyamane chavrittim, yogair manushya adhyanti hitvam, guneshu buddhya kavayo vadanti. As one can derive fire from wood, milk from the milk bag of the cow, food grains and water from the land, and prosperity in one's livelihood from industrial enterprises, so by the practice of bhakti yoga, even within this material world, one can achieve your favor or intelligently approach you. Those who are pious all affirm this. So this is the prayers offered by Lord Brahma along with other demigods when the demigods lost their position and approached Lord Brahma. And then Brahma along with them went to Shvetadvip, on the bank of Shvetadvip. And they started offering prayers. And the Lord appeared and Brahmaji continued to offer prayers. And here we see the title of this chapter is Demigods and the Demons Declare a Truce. So living cooperatively, there is no other choice than this one. Even for the demigods to cooperate with the demons. And who is telling them? It is not their decision. This was told to them by the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. He gave the example of mouse and the snake. He said if the mouse and snake both, if they are caught in the basket, the snake can only bite the basket, but the basket will not die because it's already dead matter. So it has to come out of that hole. A mouse is capable of doing it. So the snake was thinking, if the mouse can cooperate, I will come out, I'll protect myself, then I can eat the mouse also. So this is a cooperative living. Of course, this is only with the demons, not with the demigods together. But the principle, what the Supreme Personality of Godhead is saying, that in this material world, At times, everybody becomes helpless. However powerful one may be, he has to cooperate. And the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself showed it as Lord Ramachandra. Now he, if you read Ramayana, he made friendship with Sugriv. He said, you are in trouble, I am also in trouble. You help me, I will also help you. Basically, that's how the Lord came to teach us. And they cooperated with each other and both of them got their wives back. Of course, this is Lord's one instructive pastime to teach all the conditioned soul. And then to perform this pastime to attract his devotees. So here the demigods and the demons, for procuring nectar, they're performing this act of churning the milk ocean. And we see how it begins in the Bhagavatam. Shukadeva Goswami narrated the pastime of Gajendra Mokshan. Then he continued speaking about the Manvantaras and the Manus. And when he said about one Manu, we can see how attentive Shukadeva Parikshit Maharaj was. It's a boring subject to hear about, you know, some family lineage which happened many millions of years ago. Even for Parikshit Maharaj, this Manvantaras may not be necessarily from that same Yuga or Satya, Treta or Dwapar. It could be from some other millennium, some other Treta Yuga, some other Satya Yuga. And he is narrating so many different Indras, different names of Indras. And suddenly this name of Chakshusha Manu comes. And then from there how Ajita came and helped the demigods and the demon to procure nectar. Then Parikshit Maharaj stopped. He said, my dear spiritual master, I am suffering because of three modes of material nature. Therefore, I need to hear more about Krishna. I am not satisfied by hearing about Krishna. Please go on speaking more and more about Krishna. I want to know everything about this. So then Shukadeva Goswami, hearing the eagerness of Parikshit Maharaj, he congratulates him. And he starts narrating this pastime of churning the milk ocean. So many incarnations. The inquisitiveness of Parikshit Maharaj allows Shukadeva Goswami to speak about many incarnations of the Lord. Many incarnations of the Lord. And then one important point is that the life of cooperation. There is the competitive living. There is the independent living and there is cooperative living. In the life of competence, there is anxiety. There is envy. There is false pride. There is egotism. In competition, it is but natural that one will be victorious and one will be defeated. In the 16th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna explains, the demonic mentality is what? Is that I have destroyed this enemy and tomorrow I will destroy that enemy. I got so much of wealth, I got so much of money, I will gain more tomorrow. Then I will also perform some charity. I'll give some daan to somebody, then I'll perform certain religious sacrifice. In this way, I'll become supreme. We were discussing yesterday in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu class that in Kali Yuga, the tendency to give is not there at all. In the previous Yuga, the demons, to establish their position as a demon, they would perform charitable activity. The Ishwari Bhav requires the act of giving charity. When Bali Maharaj or Jarasan, when they wanted to give, they were not Mahajans. Of course, Jarasan never became Mahajan. He was killed by a Mahajan, Bhima. So, Bali Maharaj wanted to prove his position as the demon, as the Ishwar, as the supreme controller, that you can ask anything from me. And he was angry when Vamandev asked only for 3 steps of land. He felt it is below his dignity. Giving money away to somebody else for establishing their position as demons is one way. And in Kali Yuga, people are like not even demons, not even human beings. So much holding back, so much holding back. They will spend for their own. Somebody was saying, you know, that they have branded items. A purse. What is the purse? You can carry a, like our Madan Gopal Prabhu carries a cloth bag. You can put more things in that bag which cost 5 rupees. And you buy a purse which costs more than 5 lakh or 3 lakh rupees. Just because you have money, you want to show it off, and the people are there to sell to such stupid people, you know, 3 lakh rupees of purse, where Madan Gopal Prabhu carries everything in 5 rupees bag. So therefore, just squandering, just throwing money away. Like when we were in Mayapur, we took our children to Handloom, ISKCON's Handloom. It's very instructive. You get to see how cloth is made. We don't understand how cloth is made. You have to grow cotton. And to grow cotton in the farm, you know, when the Kali Yuga seasons are not very, very systematic, when the rainy season is about to be over, the rain starts. And the winter has not started only. During Mayapur Yatra, people had carried a lot of warm clothes. They could never use it. So you don't guarantee about the season working properly. So cotton requires proper weather. Such an endeavor to grow cotton. And from that cotton, making a small thin thread is extremely difficult. And then from that, you bring few threads together, make a taga, and then you bring it to the handloom. And when you start making one sari, to make one sari takes 8 hours. One lady pulling back and forth, making sari. And while pulling back and forth, the threads, many times they break. And you have to rejoin. A very difficult act. And how much they are paid? They are paid 50 to 60 rupees for 8 hours job. And then someone from a city who is good at talking, no? What does he do? He buys their hard work for 300 or 400 rupees. Therefore, the barter system is the system of exchange of hard work. Both understand the value of their work. I grow grains, you make cloth. You have worked very hard, I work very hard. Therefore, both value for each other's item. But here money, this rupees, this Prabhupada is so against this paper note. You know, we went to another place where a person was making a statue, the sculptor. It's a hard work. He was saying, nowadays because the whole land is spoiled, people are throwing so much of chemical. So to make a statue, terracotta, he said they don't last long because there are so much of salt, chemicals are there. They start destroying the inner part of the terracotta and they break. If you want a real good material, he said, you have to go 50 feet down in the Ganga and collect all the soil. And how long it takes to make one nice statue or deity? It takes a long time. And, you know, he was selling it for, there was one nice Gaur Nithai deities. You know, one devotee asked, how much does it cost? He said, 8,000 rupees. And this devotee said, okay, can you give it for 2,000 rupees? Then eventually bargained and they got it for little extra money. So if he's a businessman, if he's selling deities, a person makes the deities for a few thousand, they bring it to Bombay. And he sells it for what? He may sell it for 4 times more than what he actually purchased. So person who knows to talk nicely makes more money than the person who knows how to work hard. A person who worked hard may make 1,000 rupees. And person who knows how to lie as sweetly as possible, as artistically as possible, makes 11,000 or 20,000 or 15,000 rupees. So therefore the whole system of exchange of rupee with some instrument or item is not at all culture. Barter system of the system. We see in Krishna Lila also that lady, the Pulanda lady came with fruits. And then Krishna came out with grains in his hands, carrying some grains. And then she gave fruits to Krishna and Krishna gave grains to her. And along with grains, he also gave beautiful jewels, basket full of, you know, valuable jewels to her. because she was willing to offer something to Krishna. So we see, in competitive living, there is a natural, even though one may not want to do the culture of that competitive living, this purport Prabhupada mentions very clearly, that to be sinless, it is not only our decision to be sinless. It is not only our intention, I don't want to be sinless. There has to be facility also. If you are surrounded in a wrong situation, however strong intention you have not to be sinful, you are forced to be sinful. And then you have to say, okay, what can I do? There is no other choice for me. There has to be a facility also to be sinless. Because a conditioned soul, being a tatastha shakti, he is forced to acquire according to where he is situated. If you are in the body of a water, however good clothes, however nice swimming costume you wear, some part of your body will get wet. You can't avoid being wet when you are in the water. If you are in the warm weather, if you are staying close to fire, you can't avoid getting hot and you start sweating. It is impossible. Therefore, being sinful is equivalent to where you are situated. We were discussing with our children, we went to many places. You know, we went to many places to learn. And I was saying that discipline, you know, how do you progress? By determination, by hard work. But where do you get the desire to perform that hard work? You know, we showed them wrestlers, akhada. We showed some, people in Kolhapur doing some, you know, different kinds of martial art. And not only the practice, beyond the practice, there is a monitor, there is a teacher, there is a person who disciplines them. And discipline means what? A discipline means when you make mistake, you have to accept punishment. There is no question of not accepting punishment. There is no other choice. If you see Manu Samhita or Mahabharata or any other Vedic literature, for some wrongdoing, there has to have a punishment. Otherwise, simply by repentance, I will not do it again. And you don't have monitor because you are already conditioned now. Once you taste something bad, then you keep doing it again and again. So what they learned was that you can only be doing regularly every day if you have a teacher, if you have a monitor, if you have discipline. And then when you do wrong, there has to have an acceptance of punishment. The teacher may not want to punish, but the student has to accept punishment. And I asked all the students yesterday in our school, you know, do you have a monitor in your life? They said, almost all the kids said, no, this kind of monitor we don't have. Our parents are nice to us, but they don't monitor our life. If you do mistake, you're forgiven. If you do mistake, you're forgiven. If you do mistake, you're forgiven. We're not saying that one has to be, you know, heavy and be, you know, dictator kind of stuff. But the principle is that unless that is there, simply by intention, one cannot change. It is not possible. Therefore, Prabhupada is insisting here that our living surrounding has to be very favorable for cultivating Krishna consciousness. One of Prabhupada's disciples, he was staying away from devotee association and Prabhupada wrote to him. He said, Bhakti Vinod Thakur and I could do it. He said, you can't do it. You come and stay in the association of devotees. Don't think that you can practice devotional service outside the association of devotees. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur himself, he said, I can't handle this. Being devotee, he wrote, there is a letter which he wrote to his father, Bhakti Vinod Thakur. And in that letter he mentioned, that kind of devotional service you are practicing, I can't do it. Better I be a brahmachari only. Or be in the proper association of devotees. So therefore the competitive living of this modern world involves what? That the whole lifestyle, there is aggression, there is desire to excel, there is desire to achieve, and because to desire to achieve, naturally you don't cooperate. Competition means you put down others. There is no other choice other than this one. And therefore there is anxiety. And therefore there is feeling of, I have conquered and I will conquer somebody else also. And one who is defeated, he feels so left out. He feels such despondency. Like the children were saying yesterday, I asked them, do you have anxiety as children? These are 6th and 7th standard children. They said, lot of anxiety. What is the anxiety? The anxiety of not excelling. If you do not get great, and who are these kids? They are devotee children. They are saying, yes, we have unlimited anxiety. If you don't excel, what will happen to us? So the life of competency or competition life makes one to live a life of anxiety. It is unavoidable. So how can they practice, how can they enjoy chanting Hare Krishna? It is not possible. And the second kind of lifestyle is independent lifestyle. The modern technology forces one. Why people want gadgets? Why people want many computers or technological thing? For everything, brooming, there is a machine. For cutting grass, there is a machine. For brushing your teeth also, there is a machine. For everything, there is a machine. Because one feels, I don't need anybody. If I got these machines, then I don't need anybody's support. I can handle with these my machines. So therefore, we see, wherever there is great facility for technology, there is a lonely lifestyle. People don't live in a community. Absolutely no community living. Why? Because one feels, why should I need anybody else? Even in family, husband and wife, both are competing with each other so that who can enjoy more? Who can be more independent? Both feel that I don't need each other. You know, I have my money, you have my money, you have your television, I have your television. So therefore, even if they are husband and wife or parents and children, the tendency is that I want to live independent. Like one parent was saying, his son, a growing son, he tells his father, actually, you know, when I grow, I don't want to depend upon you. I want to live independently. That's a disease. That in the Marwadi system or a Gujarati, the traditional people who do business, the son would be very much dependent on his father to do the same business what his father was doing, what his grandfather was doing, what was his grandfather was doing. He would never say that I want to start my own thing. Now it may be considered as very enterprising. Just see, my son is so enterprising. He doesn't want to do what I am doing. No, that's a disease. And that is also ingratitude. That you are growing by the mercy of your parents. They are providing you. At some point of time you say, no, I want to live an independent life. Now you are not living. So therefore, that to independent living, a dependent life teaches how one to dependent life teaches one to depend on Krishna also. If you have the background of being sheltered by your superiors, you don't need a logic and philosophy to depend on God. It becomes very automatic and natural. One who has lived very independent life, for him to be convinced about the existence of God, God offering shelter, you need a sheltered life. He said, no, I never had a shelter. Because he has never experienced it, so he never wants to live that kind of life. And even if they come to Krishna consciousness, logically, because they are not sheltered from their early childhood, you know, there is a lot of difficulties for them to accept shelter of Krishna, which is extended through his devotees. But the life of cooperation is what has been recommended in the scriptures. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains to Arjuna that when he created this entire material manifestation, what was it? The manifestation of this material world forces one to live cooperatively. That someone requires our help, we help them. A cooperative life is like a circle. When you have to travel in a circle, even if small part of the circle is missing, you know, the circle is like this and you come to this corner and there is a gap, from here to here you can't go, then you have to take, you know, go anti-clockwise to come back to that place because the circle is not complete. Just like in a community living, if you live in a village setup, even the dog becomes an important entity. A cat becomes an important entity. Madan Gopalpu wrote a very nice article. He said the whole system, people feel, you know, snakes are very dangerous and we have to kill them. He quoted a very nice point from the Bhagavatam only. Now when Hiranyakashipu was killed, it is said that everybody became very happy. Sadur Modayat, Vrishika Hatya, when snakes and scorpions are killed, the sadhus are very happy. But in that same seventh canto, the Lord Narad Muni is instructing to Yudhishthira Maharaj that even living entities like snakes should be protected. So how do you understand this two contradictory principle? He was giving an example in the farm. If the snakes are not there, the rats will destroy your crops. So even though they are poisonous and deadly, anytime they might kill us, but they also require to stay in the place where we need to function properly. Even one thing is missing. The principle of Kali Yuga is giving overemphasis to one thing and creating an imbalance. Economic development has given such an importance. You know, everybody thinks from making money only. Like in the Western world, I went to somebody's house and when I saw a young 14-year-old boy cleaning the kitchen, I was quite amused. He said, wow, you know, he's an American boy, Indian-American boy, cleaning the kitchen so nicely. I said, I'll go and tell our children. Just see how the children help them. And the father said, I pay $5 for him for doing this job. That's his money. So everything is what? Like Shyamananda Prabhu, when his father read the Lilamrit, he said, the whole modern economic system is what? The child sells his tears and buys the milk from the mother. Everything is buying and selling. The relationship between husband and wife, the relationship between, you know, parents and children is all about, you know, my profit and my loss. My profit and my gain. So when overemphasis is given on one thing, then naturally all other aspects of life get destroyed. Vedic culture does not allow that. Even within our society, sometime when there is an overemphasis, everybody wants to be a preacher. What does it do? It creates imbalance. We need people who to take care of devotees also. We need cooks also. We need people to worship the deities also. We need devotees in the maintenance department also. When everybody puts all their attention to one thing, then the rest of the things are neglected. And the community does not have proper health. It does not grow properly. Like in Mayapur, our Sankarshan Nitya Prabhu was saying, they have a school. And there was such a difficulty in getting teachers. I thought the difficulty is only in Bombay. Even in Mayapur, they said nobody wants to be a teacher. So when the society creates such an imbalance, then however much philosophy we have, overemphasis given to one thing, then the community can never go fully function properly because all the loose ends have not been tightened properly. Therefore, this chapter is a very interesting chapter. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is asking the demigods who should have nothing to do with the demons to create a truce. A devotee can never think of living an independent life. He leads a life of cooperation, even with non-devotees in regards to achieving his goals. Achieving goal of achieving perfection in Krishna consciousness. Because the life of independence is a very dangerous. A life of competitive nature is also very dangerous. Only the life of cooperation will help us to excel in devotional life. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission of congregational chanting. What is it? It is nothing but cooperation. Just imagine a mridanga player. Many times it happens. A mridanga player is playing his own beats according to his choice. A kirtan leader wants that, okay, you sing in this channel, okay, I will only play mridanga like this. Like our Vidyabhushan had come here. His mridanga player, he didn't ask, okay, you come and play for me. A mrudanga player is playing mrudanga for him for last 27 years. There is such a harmony when they sing and play because they know each other. The mrudanga player only assists the singer. So therefore, he doesn't have to stare at the mrudanga player, you know, and chastise in the middle of the kirtan because there is a cooperation of such a long practice. So if just singing and entertainment requires so much of cooperation, just imagine how much more cooperation required to live in this world, to perform our varnashram duty, and while doing that duty, easily chant Hare Krishna. Chanting Hare Krishna has to be a very easy activity. When it is easier, then the concentration and focus is much greater. We cannot just sit and chant attentive rounds. There has to be a good background also. If there is no good background of our lifestyle, however seminars we hear about chanting Hare Krishna, no, then we can't chant Hare Krishna properly. But there is a good background, just like recently in Kolkata, Maharaj initiated about 38 devotees. And Radhanand Maharaj asked them to speak because some of their parents also got initiated. Coming from very good families, excellent students from IIT. And when they were talking about their parents, what was it seen? It was seen what kind of culture parent had given. The background, as Prabhupada mentions here, generally one cannot practice devotional service unless you have practiced in your last lifetime. So unless that culture is there, it is difficult to execute devotional service and live cooperatively. Like one devotee talked about his mother who was getting initiated. He said, when I was coming to Pune to study from a small town, mother told him, study the Bhagavatam. And she was not a devotee. And she was not a Hare Krishna devotee. Just imagine the mother is telling her son, who is not a Hare Krishna devotee, he says, study the pastimes of Pururava and Urvashi from the Bhagavatam. You are going to college. College campus is not a very nice place to be in. Let's see what kind of instruction mother is giving. Means that kind of culture is there, and because that culture was given to him, when he was taught to respect people, now he's a very successful leader also. He knows how to handle people, he knows how to deal with people, he knows how to talk to people. Another devotee who's very successful in interacting with devotees, making friends with devotees, he told his story. His parents also got initiated. He is telling his story that their sister or his sister, 18-year-old girl, she developed some disease and she died suddenly. Coming from good family, father is a banker. And when the son came back from Kharagpur IIT, you know, usually when you go through that experience of losing your dear daughter who is 18-year-old, you know, just going for their career, you know, marriageable age, it's a big shock and trauma. And it is natural that you lose faith in God. Like someone said, when one party, the Hindu party, lost the election, their main leader said, I lost faith in God now. Just see? And he's supposed to be a Hindu leader, and he says, I have no faith in God because I lost in my election. Good, they lost. Because they don't have faith in God. So here this person, the boy was telling, when he came back home, you know, you are traumatized, you forget about your chanting, you forget about your devotional service, at least for some time. The father was thinking, my son has come to home and is practicing devotional service in the college. He has got such a comfortable atmosphere to chant Hare Krishna, associate with devotees. He was wanting to make his son comfortable. So he arranged for bhoga to be cooked and he told his son, offer it to the Lord. So that your devotional service should not be disturbed even though the situation is going in our house. So that is the culture he has come from. Now, where parents think about the comfort of the son, not using son for their comforts. No, you have to be my machine to make money and give comforts to us. Now the father is thinking, okay, you know, you perform your devotional service so that when son goes home or comes home, he should not feel the difference. Chanting Hare Krishna also there, and you could chant here also nicely. like our Gaurang Prabhu's parents. Oh no. It's an amazing sight that what kind of culture they have. Amazing culture they have. Proper culture. You know, helping each other, and it gives such a faith in practicing devotional service to us that because of such people who are practicing, they practice such a nice culture, and when they bring their people to practice devotional service, are living a life of cooperation, not a life of competition. Gaurang Prabhu's father told me, I didn't even know the spelling of share market. He said, I didn't even know the spelling of share. Therefore, there is no anxiety in his life. He keeps cracking jokes even in this, you know, in a difficult condition. He had some problem with his health. But there is humor and there is joyfulness and there is also sobriety of practicing devotional life. So therefore, here Prabhupada makes a very interesting point, which I felt was very instructive for me and everybody else who is hearing this purport, that unless you live in a sinless atmosphere, you cannot happily practice devotional life. For further details, you can contact Sanat Kumar Prabhu. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments? Yes, Prahlad Prabhu. Or you can contact Gaurang Prabhu also. Vasudev Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Prabhuji. The point was very nicely understood of dependency. Only I have a slight doubt. How do we differentiate between the principle which Prabhupada mentions earlier cantos, that Kali Yuga is a sign of over-dependency, and what you explained. And secondly, this concept of Swavalamban, self-sufficiency, is also very adorable. I don't know from scriptural point of view it is adorable or not. So how do we differentiate between the concept of Swavalamban and dependency in a positive way, and the over-dependency of Kali Yuga and the dependency which Prabhupada mentioned? How do we understand?
If you answered your own question, self-sufficient over-dependence on others' mercy, Prabhupada says that is what saps the very life of people. Over-dependence on others' mercy, artificial standard of living, and what else? 3-4 principles, he says. Over-dependence on other mercy means what? You know, technology. Now, for every... If you see the whole lifestyle here, if there is no water, there is water supply is not there, that means you are depending on municipal officer, you know, the ward people, water has to come from there. If the water does not come to Bombay city from those huge pipes and then coming from your tube to your house, then your life will be stopped. There is no electricity. You can't function. If the telephone is not working, you can't function. Your computer is not working, you can't function. Your mobile phone is not functioning, you can't function. The train, taxis, you know. So that is over-dependence on others' mercy. A city life creates over-dependence. But if you live in a village, which I know we can't because we are all spoiled people living in city, you know, just can't put these people to village life. You know, they'll commit suicide. If they are forced to live, it's like a kalapani. Because the life which we have led is so artificial. But the point is that when there is so much of dependence, which is all of anxiety, but if you live in a village, the well water is there. You fetch water from the well. You jump in the river. If you have nothing to eat, no grains, you can survive on fruits also. There will be some kind of fruits available. You don't need outside artificial things to sustain your life. You don't have to worry, what if water does not come? What if electricity does not come? What if there is no telephone? You wouldn't require telephone. Like Radhananda Maharaj mentioned, when he was in India, he forgot how to spend money. You know, when father gave him that money, still he was living in the caves only. He forgot how to spend money. He forgot how to even call. Such a luxury he had it. So therefore, the point which we were making, that your intentions are important. but more than what is your surrounding. Where do you live? Because that affects us very much. Of course, Prabhupada concludes, for those who can't change, at least chant Hare Krishna. If you read, it's a brilliant purport. You know, he's not making anybody hopeless. He's giving facilities for everybody. But then advancement in Krishna consciousness means what? From this steps to take another higher step. Take another higher step. You can't be satisfied with little facility. You should aspire for more and more facility. More and more purity. As we advance in Krishna consciousness, a little contamination causes great disturbance. When we are not advanced in Krishna consciousness, you know, any kind of contamination does not give us any sense only that I am living in a contaminated area. It's okay. People feel it's harmless. Like not drinking milk. Prabhupada talks so much about this. One should drink ample milk. One should mix grains with milk. And if you see, most of our devotee children only, you know, for them milk is like allergic. I know some of the kids, when they smell yogurt, they go far away. But if I offer them some 7-Up and Sprite and Thumbs Up and chocolate, you know, they are like ecstasy. Yeah, I saw two kids were running away from yogurt. I said, what happened? He said, we feel vomiting. I said, I feel vomiting by hearing this. Yogurt, how can you avoid? If you ask Radha Diti Prabhu. He said 365 days. You know, morning, afternoon, evening. If yogurt and rice is there, life is done. We don't need anything else. And milk also. You know, people feel allergic to drink milk. They need to add a lot of things. Add that dirty powder in the, you know, coffee and tea. Make it as contaminated as possible, then you can consume it. Pure cow's milk, when we went to Wada farm, you know, Prabhuji, this is too strong. It's very pure. People can't digest pure milk also. They start vomiting or they have, you know, diarrhea, dysentery, because it's too pure. You need to have urea in that. You need to have glot paper. It has to be totally, that means our body, the city body, is accustomed to adding so much of poison. If some pure item comes, we throw it out. So unfortunate. So therefore, self-sufficiency means, you know, you depend on people who help you to make advancement in your spiritual life. But you don't artificially depend upon them. Just see. Therefore, when there is over-dependence, then we say, I don't have time. Because the time is given to all these things. Independent living means what? That you don't give time to artificial things and you give time to Krishna. When people say, I don't have time, that means all of their time has been taken away by the unwanted masters. Other than Krishna, the municipal master has taken away time. The best master has taken away. The train master has taken away. The bus master has taken away. The taxi master has taken away time. Because they have taken away time, Krishna has no time. But when we don't give time to them, then it's much easier to give time to Krishna. It's a very logical thing. Therefore, that is Swavalambi Jivan. You know, self-sufficiency. And artificial standard means over-dependence on others' mercy. A vaidya, you know, a testing, going to hospital with all that instrument, all, you know, where you have to be diagnosed. It's so fear-causing. Huge machine. It's like a cremation, you know, like some machines I saw, MRI machine. It is like going into that furnace only, where you go to cremation ground. So half, that person is half dead inside that. So psychologically, he is killed more when he goes to the hospital. I remember when Maharaj had to be, wanted to go for surgery, you know, he was very upset to go to the hospital. No sensible person would ever want to go to the hospital. But in Kali Yuga, it is created in such a way that your disease becomes more and more when you go to the hospital, seeing all those machines. But when you come to a vaidya, a doctor, there is nothing, a small room. No, he does not make you realize that you are sick. And he softly touches your hand. Just see the difference between that machine and holding a hand. And then he diagnoses everything. Just by holding your hand here. And then, so the whole effect of your surrounding makes you healthy or sick. Our Damodar Pandit was mentioning, I think it's time up now, I'll stop here. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Jai Srila Prabhupada ki.